Turn that shit up.
Turn it up, turn it up.
Go, shorty.
It's your birthday.
What?
We gon' party. It's Drew's birthday.
No.
Like it's Drew's birthday.
And you know we don't give up.
Cause it's Drew's birthday.
Right. Sorry, I had to switch it up.
Switch it up. Turn up, turn up. Welcome to the Interracial John Podcast. I'm your host, at Leslie Mack, and I'm joined by the birthday boy himself.
The one and only very white guy.
And you are very white indeed. And happy birthday, honey.
Thank you, baby doll. Thank you.
How's your birthday been going?
Fantabulous.
Well, you wanted to podcast, so here we are.
I know. Because I'm in a good mood.
Yeah. It is good to podcast when you're in
a good mood. I don't know if that means, like, if it's like a better podcast, if I have more fun.
Maybe.
If I'm in a good mood.
Maybe.
Certainly. There's been a couple of times where I'm like, you know what? You and I, that's not podcast.
Yeah, we're not in a podcasting space.
Whatever the podcasting bubble.
Whatever you need it, it's not going on right now. Let's
not
try
often,
tomorrow.
Not often,
but sometimes. It's true.
Happened. It's happened.
Yeah.
Today's not one of those days.
No, today is the opposite of that.
Yeah.
Let's get into it, but let me just do our quick housekeeping. You can find us on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. Just search for Interracial John. That's JAWN. You can also find us on our website, interracialjohn.com. And we are, of course, on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, at Interracial John. Again, JAWN. And yeah, so we're here. We're going to see how long it takes to get through these fun things. We've put together a few fun things. Be serious things.
Yeah. It's been a while. We haven't said, just in case there's new listeners, John is a word.
Oh, that's
Philly
a good
cats.
Idea. Yeah, we do have a few new listeners.
John is a word Philly cats use for anything and everything.
Yeah. It's kind of like my joint. So, like, that's my John. But you can also call a thing a John. A building can be a John.
That was the...
A sandwich.
That was the pinnacle of John's stature here in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Was when the building fell down in downtown Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah, that's right. On that Salvation Army.
It was a Goodwill, I think. Goodwill store.
I thought it was Salvation Army. But okay, good.
But so they interviewed a dude, and he's like, the whole John came down, man. I couldn't believe it.
He said, the whole John came down.
Yeah,
like
I said, the whole John came down. Meaning the building. The whole John.
Building,
came down.
The whole John.
Yeah. We need that sound bit. If someone has the whole John came down YouTube.
I haven't found it. Maybe we should look. I haven't looked that hard, though, to be honest.
Tweet me.
So we'll just do, I want to just do a real quick Ferguson update. Tomorrow is a really big action day nationwide. The Day of Resistance, as it's been called. You can find that on Twitter, hashtag Day of Resistance. And so that's tomorrow, Saturday, December 13th. There is about 55 cities that are on the Tumblr. So you can find your city, or if you want to plan something immediately that could happen tomorrow, you can still do that. It's fergusonresponse.tumblr.com. There's a link there for you to submit anything. And of course, to also find your city, you can search just looking on the page, or you can look through two filters, one by date and one by state.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
That's good. 55 cities for tomorrow.
Yeah, for tomorrow.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we'll be going to the one here in Philly, so. And then I just have been seeing a lot of, like, protest chants, you know, when you go to the protest and you chant and stuff.
You just shared that maybe last one you shared with me was fantastic.
That's a sign, though, the one that I said to you.
Oh, okay.
That's different than a chant. A chant is something the whole crowd has to say. I've been, some of them are really in depth and some of them are very simple, like I Can't Breathe or Black Lives Matter. They'll just be the whole, you know, 700 people just saying that over and over again. It's very powerful. Anyways, so people have come up with clever ones, you know. I don't know what they all are. But one I heard this week that I really liked, and this is at a point you would say this when you're in direct confrontation with the police, which I actually had. I was in the midst of one when we did the die-in at the station, when we walked and tried to get on the highway at the one point. And then we did it a second time, and we were right. I mean, the cops were right in front of me. And you're trying to do chants there, and they're staring at you. It's very tense. So there was one that I heard today, and we could have said it because they were all on bikes here in Philadelphia. But I haven't seen any riot gear here in Philly yet, but that's not to say that it won't change. But if they are in riot gear, the chant is, why are you in your riot gear? We don't see no riot here.
Okay.
So I thought that was a really good chant. If you're standing right there in front of them to be like, this isn't a riot. What are you doing? But that would be an easy one for people to follow along with and would sound really nice. So that's my protest chant of the week.
Okay.
And, yeah.
I always think the cops, the ones, no justice, no peace,
oh, yeah.
no racist
police.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That's a big one. Yeah, that's a big one.
That's a good chant. What was the sign you said? White silence is consent to violence.
Yeah,
I like
white
that.
Silence is consent to
white
violence.
White silence is consent to violence.
Right. That would make a bad chant, but a very good sign.
No, it's not a good chant.
No.
And just because, you know, unless like you have only white people.
Yeah, exactly. It's a little like, okay, man.
No, I was looking for something that would be really impactful, mm-hmm. like to have as a sandwich board or
a
sign.
Oh, for tomorrow, yeah.
Just because I'm really white. And like,
you are.
I think increasingly like white people's role should be to leverage our whiteness and mm-hmm. that to like highlight, you know, almost as like a juxtaposition, right? You know, like we're not, the fact is we can breathe, not I can't breathe, right? So it's almost weird
right.
for me to hold a sign that says I can't breathe, right? It would be, I wouldn't do it for me personally. Mm-hmm. But I think instead find a way to be like, you know, like I was tweeting the other day, like, did you even see it? I haven't even talked about it.
Well,
I just paid off my dentist, right? Remember?
I did see that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
you had a bunch of work done.
Yeah, like a crab load.
You had to have bone grafts
and
all this other stuff.
I'm not even done.
Periodontal.
But so she's the dentist. She's doing all like the cosmetic
right.
shit. So like I actually have a tooth. Like I look like I'm missing a tooth, right? It's like it's bad, right?
Right. They have
so
to fix it. They
fix
have
it.
To get the bone graft.
It's like a tooth in the front of my face.
Yes,
like it's
huge.
Not like can't not
deal.
Have a tooth.
Big yeah.
deal. So at the time there was the one oral surgeon I have.
Mm-hmm.
I've paid her with credit cards.
Right.
But this dentist, she was like, well, you know, you could do this like credit thing that we have, or you know, like I don't, you know, I looked at it and it was, I forget the name of it, but it was basically like predatory lending of some sort. It was it was kind of like a credit card, but like 20 some odd percent, and it was like 0% financing for maybe 6 months, and then it had like a whole lot of penalties. And you look it up, and everyone's like, oh, it was, you know, once you hit that 6 months, they deliberately didn't take my payment, and they put me in default, and this happened, and there was a lot of complaints about it. So I was like, I don't want to do that lending program that whatever you say you have, I'll just put on a credit card. But the other dentist, she's like, oh, you know, just pay what you can when you can. Like, literally, right? Like, pay what you can when you can.
Right.
It was, you know, thousands of dollars. So I'm like, fuck, all right, I'll pay what I can when I can. And I looked at one of them just to make sure. I had a bill, like a statement from her.
Right.
And it was thousands of dollars over a period of a couple of years. I think it might have been close to $3,500, all said and done, over a period of 2 years. Like, essentially a line of credit, right? She just did the work and said, pay what you want. There was no collateral. There was no installments. It wasn't like you had to pay so much every month. And I wouldn't. I'd go like 3, 4, 5 months without paying her anything. And then I'd go see her to get my teeth cleaned and I'd pay her $500, right? That was like my modus operandi for paying off this line of credit. And I was like, God, it's crazy that she did no credit check. She had nothing other than I'm a white man and I live in a pretty nice neighborhood. And I guess I have insurance, right? Like there was like some, like she got some money right away from the insurance. You know what I mean? Like she got paid at least a little bit. And it was a, like, if you want to do all the work,
right.
you have to make some accommodations.
Sure.
But nevertheless, it's just like, you know, that's when people say like, oh, I worked hard for it. I earned it. Like, really? She just fucking threw a line of credit at me for nothing. And it was like 8% APR. Like literally. Like,
right.
She charged me an interest rate at some point. Cause it's like, well, it's been 2 years and
right.
it's, you know, thousands of dollars. Like I kind of have to charge you a nominal.
Something, right.
Something, right. Like it wasn't like 0-0, right. But still, it just
no.
Sort of,
we got that for the car.
Yeah,
so.
We got that for the car.
Yeah,
we did get 0-0 for the car. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So we were talking about our kids. We had the dispatch from the Blue Room. We're talking about Ciara and Carl. Shout out CMR, the unofficial
executive producer of the Interracial Dawn podcast.
Yeah, he gets it. Was it? Little ding for Carl. He sent me a USA Today, which I don't normally really care for or like, but it was about teens, this new generation, that according to Pew Research, they kind of feel and think of themselves as post-racial, but now they're realizing like, oh, shit, fuck.
Oh, shit.
It's really not post-racial at all. What the hell? They had some clips I was going to play, but I wanted to talk more about Ciara and our conversations we had at Thanksgiving. And I don't know. Like, I didn't expect it to be so deep and sort of, like, profound and for her to take it so, like, she took it kind of heavily. But now she's doing, you're telling me she's doing actions at her high school. I think the youth, I think it's fantastic that people are
doing something.
Aware, yeah. Just, yeah. And just getting active. Getting
well,
active.
I think that that's partially connected to this other study that came out this week. The U.S. Census Bureau now projects that in the year 2045, whites will become the minority in this country.
So that's actually in this article at the end of it when these, you know, I don't know what they call them, this new sub-millennial, whatever this group
yeah,
is.
Yeah, whatever this group is.
They know that. Mm-hmm. They look at the data and they're like, well, you know, at some point, we're going to be, you know, if we're white, we're going to be a white minority. So we might as well figure out kind of how to do this shit now.
I think beyond that, there's a level of the because the statistic is moving that way, you have to realize that means that the younger generations are getting less and less white. That's just the nature of how this sure, is happening, right? Sure. And the other thing that is really specific is that this is critical, I think, is that the non-Hispanic native-born white population is what is going to be less than 50%. So non-Hispanic native-born, meaning born here, white population.
Me.
Yes, you.
Yeah.
And the tipping point is 2044. But the thing is that two things have been happening to make this happen. The birth rate has slowed significantly, with 3.5 million fewer people expected to be living in America by 2060 okay. than originally projected. So we projected out, and now we are like, yep, we're going to be way off that because people okay. are not having babies like they used to.
The curve's been adjusted.
Correct. Immigration has risen, and they expect that that will continue to happen. And then the second thing is that America has truly become more of a melting pot. While the Census Bureau is still figuring out how to accurately track race demographics in America, between 2000 and 2010, there was a 32% increase in people who check more than one race in the census survey.
Get out.
This is what the difference is that this younger generation is so multiracial that it means that everybody in the generation above them and below them is more likely to have somebody in their direct family and connect it to them in a real way that is not white. And to me, that is how segregation really changes, because now it's like, oh, I have a whole black family. Oh, I have a whole Hispanic family. Oh, and this, you know, multiracial can go across the board. It includes yeah. Asian American. It includes all sorts of different races. But the point is that this multiracial contingent is what's really growing the most. 32%, that is huge.
Well, they had a diversity
in 10 years.
The diversity index for Gen X, which I think is me, right?
Yeah, you're Gen X.
Is 58 mm-hmm. out of 100. And for millennials is 62.
Right.
And then this now sort of still unnamed, born 2000, like 1 and 2 and beyond, is 67.
Yeah.
You know, from my generation, 58 to 67, that's 9 points, but more accurately, that's like an 18% increase.
Yeah, I mean, you know? It's huge.
That's a really big...
It's huge.
Jump in diversity.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting that literally the Census Bureau is like, we don't even know what to call these people.
Mm.
Like, they're trying to figure out how they're going to even do that.
Well, and wasn't there a... So just like we had Ban the Box for legislative action here
yeah.
in New Jersey,
mm-hmm.
I thought there was some sort of petition or organization that was moving to make changes in a lot of the sort of census and checking of, you know, white, black, so
yeah.
and very specifically so that more than one could be chosen, so it wasn't just picking a box. Like, there was, I forget the specific action behind it, but was addressing.
Well,
what
I think the big push was to allow people to check multiple boxes.
I think so too.
Or to have a multiracial box, which I think was the middle step. Mm. And people were like, yeah, but multiracial doesn't actually let me identify with any race that I do or group that I do want to identify as. And then it was like, but for, because what it would do is it used to be you could only pick one. So
right.
pick one, and that's it. There was no, like, way on, like, official forms, marriage licenses, you know, all of those kinds of things. You couldn't pick more than one. And so the move was, okay, but well, now we added a biracial, at least this and something else and something else. And then it was like, okay, further, we have to go further into it. And then there was, like, Hispanic, and it was way too generic because what does that even mean? So they had to split that up, and then they had to split up a bunch of other things. But now you can check as many boxes as you want.
Got it.
So, and they also were having to do that with same-sex couples. This was a huge change
right.
also in the census because they have to count these households as households because they are. They really weren't being counted as such previously. And so now that that's all shifting, you know, they have to make, you know,
well, now that
they have to count still.
Now
so.
That there's marriage equality in yeah. 14, 15, I don't know how many states.
Yeah.
But
it's amazing
states.
To me, like, to realize, I'm always in awe about the census because just the data is so universally used, and it's so important that it gets it right. You know, I'm a big proponent. I'm not a huge proponent of governmental oversight, but I think that having the numbers is so critical that I don't know. I just think the census is important to be correct.
All right.
And so I think part of that is them. No, and I think part of that is them making sure that people are able to actually put what they are and what they identify as and what they want to put and what they, you know, it's really important to get that correct.
No, and that's in terms of just, you know, the data, the language, the, you know, being respectful of individuals. And we're going to talk a little bit later about, you know, I would say nomenclature and self-identification is, you know, black or white, because I had that little bit on Twitter. But I think a good sort of what we're talking about a little bit, not necessarily, but more specifically, sort of this liberal condescension, intellectualism, right? Like whites talking about, I think we talked yesterday about, like, race doesn't exist. People going, oh, you know, race is a social construct and white doesn't really exist.
Right.
And, you know, and it's like, well, okay, but does that mean we can't talk in these sort of terms and still get shit done? Like, does that mean we can't do the work at all? And so I was making a list of just sort of like, I don't know why. Like, it just, not say dawned on me, but all of it's just this whole devil's advocate, you know, play just intellectual chess with shit. It's like, well, fuck, the reality is the reality. Can we talk about the reality?
Right.
You know, like, I don't give a fuck what the etymology or the, you know, whether you think of it biologically or as a social this or that, like, who cares?
Right. You what know? Does that have to do with anything?
Yeah. So you hear it in various forms. You weren't there. Remember that? You weren't there?
Yes.
Wait for the
facts.
You
don't know.
You don't know. Wait for the facts. Why this case? Right? That's another sort of just intellectual, like, well, you know, like, do they really want to know? I don't think so. Like, if they're asking in earnest, maybe, but I don't think any of these are ever asked earnestly. The whole race is a social construct. You're doing it wrong. Don't, you know what? You can't talk to white people like that. Very white guy. You gotta soften it up. You're doing it wrong. Nothing will ever change. I don't know why you're bothering.
Nothing will ever change.
Nothing. Mm. And here it gets more condescending. I hope you and your protests are happy.
Mm-hmm.
My kid's Christmas recital was fucking delayed.
Yeah.
Oh, they're looters. Looting.
Looting.
The looting. Don't you care about the looting? It's ridiculous. But so I don't know. Like, there's got to be a way to lump all of that into just this intellectual bullshit that I guess I should say white people like to do. And I'm just tired of it when it comes to race and social justice and inequality, because it's like, get the fuck out of here with that.
Yeah.
Really? Go away.
I had an experience like that today, actually, on Facebook, of course.
Yeah, Facebook. That racist-ass app called Facebook.
Yes. So our faith is in crisis, as is in the rest of the goddamn world. White world. It's a very white faith, Unitarian Universalism. And they, you know, they have pagans, people who, you know, celebrate the solstice, which is coming up, da-da-da, whatever. And so there's a group called IMUU, and they're kind of a lay person-led evangelical, not to say wing, because that doesn't really, it's not an official part of anything, but it's...
evangelical, I mean...
Yeah, like it's they're, they want to engage people about UUism.
Okay.
So...
I got you now. It's our religion's version of proselytization, which
correct.
We don't do.
Correct.
I got you. And they're using the, like, their earth...
Oh, Lord. I think they canceled the event.
No.
I'm not
kidding.
Recently,
just now?
Yeah, because I can't get to it.
Shut up.
Let me look up here.
You're typing the thing in wrong.
I don't think so. I had the link.
Shut it down. Shut it down.
Anyway, so they had an event coming up, and it was going to be on the solstice. Yeah, it's gone.
It's gone. They took it down.
Oh, no, did they change the data, the name of it? They changed the name of it.
They did. What's it now?
It's called This Little Light Chalice Challenge, Solstice Weekend.
This Little Light Challenge. So tell the story.
The story is it was originally...
Congratulations. I hope you and your protest are happy. You made me change the name.
Oh, my. I'm going to join it now. So anyway, so now I feel bad because they actually did what I wanted them to do. But anyways, I'll just talk about the construct of what happened, which is that originally it was called, and I actually wrote it down, it was called A Light in the Darkness was the name of it. And so I was talking with DRE, Director of Religious Education for the Faith in Denver, and he had said, take a look at this. Are you a little bristled by the name as well? And I said, yeah, I'm a little bristled by it because it does have this idea of like, oh, the darkness is something to get rid of. Like, because the thing is, I understand that they meant it in this very specific context of the solstice, and I get their intent, but because this event wasn't meant for people that are already you use, I thought that it could be very unwelcoming to people of color. Okay, that was my entire whole thing. I was like, listen, if this was a UU event, I wouldn't think anything about it. It would be fine, but you're pushing this out there to the public for people to come and learn about UUism and our faith and be inclusive and be open and welcoming to people. And I'm telling you that a person of color seeing that, this is not welcoming.
Yeah.
Okay. Your intent is, I get it. You don't need to tell me what your intent is. I understand it. I'm trying to explain to you that other people won't. And got that it. If you want to be inviting to people, you need to think about the language that's being used and that, you know, this is not appropriate. And there's a lot of ways to still bring the solstice into it, still have the same celebration of this darkest night of, you know, longest night of the year and the day starting to get longer and all of that without this 5-word fucking phrase. Okay. Yeah. That's it. That was all that was said. So this individual, the DRE that I'm friends with, he contacted the group and said, hey, listen, he wrote this like super duper, he's an amazing writer. And he wrote this really great personal piece talking about himself and how, you know, he as a dark skinned person, how he feels when he sees these things and how they make him feel and how sometimes, you know, language can come off a certain way. And he's like, I love the idea of this event and I really want to participate. Do you think there's anything that can be done about the name? Right.
And they wrote back. It was reasonable.
Yeah. He was a lot nicer than I probably am, generally speaking. So they wrote back to him and was like, well, you know, we don't think that's not what we meant. And there's nothing to do with race in it. And, you know, and he had said, you know, if you don't change it, I hope you're okay with me voicing this concern on the page. And they were like, yeah, fine. You know, say whatever you want to say. So he posted about it and I chimed in and said, yes, I totally agree. And I just said what I said to you just now,
right,
why I thought it was really important. And then I further said that I was a little disappointed that the name wasn't just changed as soon as somebody brought this to someone's attention. I don't think that I don't understand why a consensus would need to be built around someone saying that something is offensive to them. I don't understand that.
Mm.
Okay. Just because it's just it's 5 words like that somebody's saying, hey, this can be taken the wrong way. I don't understand why you're like, nah, we're not going to change it till more people complain. Because that's what they said.
Let's get real.
What do you think about that?
I was waiting for you. I was waiting for you to ask my opinion.
Well, I was just explaining what happened. Asking you for real. Like, no, for real. What is that?
So I would say when we discussed it initially, my lens of understanding is good enough to know that in instances like this, like I'm not a party to that group. So I just sort of, I'm attuned enough.
Which group? Black people?
So I'm attuned enough to be like, well, if two black people that I know and trust, you know, in particular my wife, says this is problematic, there's not a whole lot of like mental gymnastics for me beyond that point. And I will say that my natural inclination, we've talked about this before, like, so the incident in our health club,
right,
where you came right out, you're like, you know what, I think it was kind of racial. And I demurred. I was like, no, I don't think so. I didn't feel like that. It's not what I've experienced. And that's, you know, it's like a muscle, like a reflex that I think white people, I'll just say me personally, that society's trained over many, 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 many years. And that muscle, that reflex, when I hear light in the darkness is not racial, is not problematic, is not, you know what I'm saying? It's almost like, you know, for me, my knee-jerk reaction wasn't, oh my God, that's terrible. It wasn't even like, oh, that's, I could see where that's that problematic. It's more, okay, you know, these two individuals, one being my wife, tell me that's problematic. Then, you know, let me look deeper. And okay, you're right. I see where it's problematic. But I wouldn't have had as the same reaction as you and he did.
No, and I appreciate that. But my whole point is, like, can you understand that just because you don't feel that,
of course,
that somebody else could? Because it seems like that's lost on a lot of white people.
Well, and you know, it's, and I'll say it again, just in sort of the I statements rather than talk about other people. When we were watching Jeopardy and we had the back-to-back episodes, yeah, where the woman won, mm-hmm, and one episode I made a comment about something she was wearing, and the next one I made a comment about her hair, and you pointed it out. You're like, yeah, you wouldn't have said that about a dude. And I got kind of like defensive and mad and almost like belligerent to the point, like, no, I'm not, you know, I'm not a misogynist. Don't tell me that. Like there's sort of like a progression of getting, I don't want to say checked or called out, but for me as a white male in particular, checked on privilege or patriarchy, it's not, you know, I'm not saying like it's like real pain. Like it's just, you know, it's not something I'm used to. Like it doesn't come quick, natural, and easy. It's a, you know, whatever that muscle is that's like, no, it's not racial at all. Like you really have to work, at least for me, I have to work really hard at combating that. And this is a really good incident of that, where I wouldn't have thought twice about the name. I wouldn't have, it probably wouldn't even occurred to me. But then, you know, like I said, two people tell me this. It's like, okay, I'm going to, you know, reflect on it and think about it. And, you know, well, beyond even, it's a no-brainer. You know, two people say, okay, this is problematic. And I think that somebody within the faith came to that same conclusion, like, okay, are you kidding me? We have like, you know, I don't know how many, maybe 250,000 people in the country that are Unitarian Universalists, and like are 2% people of color. I don't know the number, but it's not a lot. And you're going to fucking argue with two of them about the name of this thing? Come on.
One of which is like actually works in the faith.
Come
and
on.
Is a prolific Come writer in our faith.
Come
like
on.
I just, the whole thing was
Come
crazy.
On. That's
and
nutty
and
to me.
So then they started like attacking us.
It's a little much.
I'm not even joking when I'm not joking.
No, I know.
One of the people running it, the first thing they put was that people were intimidated now to say that they don't want the name changed.
Well, you know what they're saying now.
They're saying, shut up, black people.
No, they're doing that, but they're saying like, oh, this whole political correctness, I just...
That's something else. That comes later. This is a whole different thing. This is literally, you scary black people spoke up, and now you just intimidated them.
Yeah, you're right.
And
that's
they
stage,
and
that's stage
it,
one.
It is completely that's fucking ridiculous.
Page one.
And then they made a comment that... yeah, they said that it was intimidating and that people wouldn't feel comfortable coming forward because a lot of UUs don't like to argue. And I said, I called bullshit so motherfucking fast. I said, get the fuck out of here. First of all, I've never met a UU that hasn't been ready to argue about every fucking thing. All they do is argue. They don't even have a single religion. They agreed on 7 principles, and each of them can be whatever religion they want. They can be Buddhist, they can be they can be atheists, they can be agnostics, they can be pagans, they can be Wiccans, they can be anything they want. They argue about shit all the goddamn time.
You know what?
They argue about everything. Look at how long it took us to pass our goddamn church budget this year. They don't like to argue. They don't like to say what they think. That's all they like to do.
Yeah, please.
Thank you. Trying to tell me. I said, I've never heard UUs not argue about anything except for when race comes in, and then we need to shut the fuck up. And it's ridiculous. Then they went further, because then the people started chiming in now.
Oh, yeah.
Because now the organization had given them full license to come out and say whatever they wanted to us. And sometimes... you need to get over yourself.
No, that's
of
verbatim.
Of course, the title is about the winter solstice and not intended to be racial in any way.
Really? Yeah.
Here's a second one. But I'm seriously tired of the racial tension dialogue. It seems there's nothing that can be done anymore without offending someone.
That's like the non-unpology we got about, sorry, you didn't have the words to not offend you. What the fuck?
And then they started personally attacking me and saying, well, you're not even suggesting any other names. First of all, 7 names had been suggested already. Why do I need to say a name?
Why is it your responsibility?
Why is it my goddamn responsibility? I'm not running the fucking event. Secondarily.
Hey, you know what? You're a fucking bitch. Don't call me a bitch. Well, I'm sorry. What should I call you?
Then they started to say, the reason why they didn't want to change is because they had put a lot of man hours into making these images and stuff that were, you know, built around that name. I said, oh, okay. So just to be clear, that whatever hours were put into making those signs, that's worth offending people of color. I just want to be clear that that's what we're discussing right now.
Jeez.
Because that was what we were discussing.
Our faith.
And then they said that I was clearly not there to do anything, that I had an ulterior motive other than getting the name changed.
Well, you're that radical black bitch now, right?
I sure am. I think I'm getting a reputation, and I like it. And I motherfucking
you know what?
I think, honestly,
I'm going to give a shout-out to, like, I'd say, like the other podcast we talk about racists getting fired on social media and just, like, the whole, like, racial dialogue, like, I'm just going to be totally and completely honest. The fact that it's, like, happening, it's given an outlet for something in you that I'm glad is no longer in the household. Like, there's an outlet for you know, this bullshit that doesn't involve our four walls.
Yeah.
It sucks.
When I left the conversation, because I just, once they started personally saying I had ulterior motives, I said, okay, I literally go, I'm leaving the event and the conversation. I heard you loud and clear. Black people aren't welcome here.
Yeah.
Goodbye. Left. Because what else? They already told me everything I needed to know. Fuck else do I need to stay in there for? See ya. Anyways, apparently they canceled that event, and now the event is renamed to This Little Light of Mine, and that is the update on the...
You just took down you took down the fucking solstice.
I didn't.
Is it like the nationwide
one? That was the other thing, is that it wasn't a solstice event. That was their big thing. It's like, we earth religions, it's very important, the light and the dark, and that it's very important to me and my spirituality. And I said, I appreciate all of those things, and I'm just trying to tell you that I get that intellectually, but other people are going to read it differently, and you can get your point across without using these exact 5 words. Like, you don't even have, like, you're arguing with me on your intent, and I'm talking to you about the impact. Yeah. And it's a complete disconnect, because they don't have the impact. It's like it doesn't fucking exist.
I punch you in the face, and I'm talking like, well, I meant to swat that fly. Really? Because you punched me in the fucking face. Well, it's not what I meant to do.
Mm.
I didn't mean to punch you in the face. Mm. Sorry I throat punched you and you can't fucking
breathe. I'm glad that the name has changed, and I'm very happy to participate. It's a great way to get people to know more about the religion, and so I'll just say that, and we can leave it there.
That's very, very nice of you. Thank you.
So I guess it looks like we're going to have a new regular segment on the show.
Yeah, here goes.
Hit it. The Sony leaks.
The leak.
The leak that keeps on leaking.
It's
apparently
a waterfall.
It has turned into a waterfall, and it's a really slowly trickling one at that. Apparently North Korea has decided to leak this information when it's going to have the most devastating impact to Sony.
Well, you know, they have their whole, like, release schedule. They know when
this
shit's going to hurt the most.
They have everything, so yes, they have their release schedule. And so last week's leaks had some embarrassing stuff about big movie stars, funny of which almost all of them we saw previews for today,
yeah.
those stars in particular. And then secondarily, they also released movies that are coming out this week or Christmas week. So the actual films. And so today, the new James Bond movie started filming. And so they leaked the entire fucking script. Literally.
Kim Jong's pissed.
He's shitty, man.
He's pissed.
He's really pissed off.
And that
off.
Movie looks fucking hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
What's it called? The Interception? The Intercom?
The Interview.
The Interview.
Yeah.
It looks hilarious.
Looks really funny. I'm definitely going to go see it. But don't come after me, Kim Jong-il, please. they've been trickling stuff out. So I'll do all the updates. The first was the James Bond movie, and apparently the emails are not very good. They talk about the script's lack of sufficient twist and lack of resolve for the films before it.
Yeah, because the last movie was basically like James Bond Home Alone edition.
Yeah, pretty much. something else that was leaked is a 21 Jump Street Men in Black crossover plan.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, yeah. Med school might not be in the cards for Schmidt and Jenko in the third Jump Street film, despite what the end credits of 22 Jump Street may have predicted, or med school may involve aliens. The Wall Street Journal reported that emails leaked by Sony hackers indicate that the next Jump Street film will cross over with the Men in Black franchise.
No.
Phil Lord and Chris Miller have made a habit of taking projects that seem opportunistic and making them innovative, and this seems to give them another opportunity to do just that. According to the Journal, the pair, who also worked together on the Lego movie, are on board as producers and may direct. Though the emails appear to imply that Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith would not be heavily involved, if at all, Jonah Hill seems enthused, telling Sony Picture co-chairman Amy Pascal in an email, "Jump Street merging with Men in Black, I think that's clean and rad and powerful." That's what Jonah
clean
Hill said.
Clean and rad and powerful.
Such a ticking tool.
Dude. Dude, that's the name of this episode so far.
Clean and rad and powerful. I love it.
Good fucking Lord.
Oh my gosh.
Clean and rad and powerful. Uh-huh. Isn't he like 40?
Seriously, who says
you
rad?
You can't, that's done. You can't
oh
say clean, rad, and powerful anymore, Jonah.
It's terrible.
And, you know, like Men in Black 3 was fucking awful.
Oh, gosh.
The most recent Men in Black was terrible.
Yeah. And then it just finished out saying that Sony had been moving forward on both 23 Jump Street and Men in Black 4. Per the Journal, Sony is hoping for a 2016 or 2017 release for the crossover movie. Sony did not immediately respond to EW's request for comment.
Yeah. FYI I think I'm going to be changing my Twitter handle. I'm clean, rad,
right,
and powerful.
Yeah.
I guess just too much. Clean,
too
rad,
much.
And powerful.
Too much. Okay.
And clean, then, rad, and powerful.
Clean.
Who fucking... He wrote that. Like, he said, that's clean. That's
so
rad.
I'll just go real quick through the other things
saw
that came
more,
out.
Sorry.
One was that... Oh, that they have a very cozy relationship with the New York Times, and even were given copies of... advanced copies of columns that were about Sony executives prior to them being published, which is like journalism,
sure.
Like disaster.
Hey, Tommy Mottola, you want final cut on this article we're writing?
Exactly.
About
you? Yep.
Yeah.
Then they also have a whole issue with Aaron Sorkin. He's apparently sleeping with a writer of a movie called Molly's Game, and they're having a big fight about him wanting to do that movie before a movie they wanted him to do. And they say, we are getting totally positioned in the Aaron stuff. He is broke. He wants to get paid. We paid him his insane fee on Flash Boys. I don't care if Aaron is sleeping with the girl or not. Jesus Christ. Honestly, it's kind of ridiculous.
Is Aaron or is it Tommy Salami that did all the mushrooms and the drugs and shit?
I think that was Aaron, actually.
I mean, he was like all into like psychedelics and weed.
Yeah,
and shit.
All sorts of stuff. Lots of people are. Not just him. And then there's a whole leaked email that alleges racism and sexual harassment.
Oh, more than...
By Sony exec Keith LaCoy. Details years of threats, insults, racism, and nasty harassment.
Oh,
I'm not even going to read the whole thing. It's really horrible. I'll say this. The scribe ends, the letter ends with an almost resigned note of fear and despair. I'm afraid that as a result of this written complaint, I will be the target of further retaliation. My concerns have been communicated to HR. My work environment has not improved. I need someone to protect me from Keith.
Juan White's, dude.
Jesus.
Oh, my Lord.
And then while we started filming, I saw flash across my Twitter some something about Spider-Man and Sony leaks.
Wait,
and
so
they just
during this episode, we had a live. We're doing a Sony leak. And at the same time, it
a
gets
leak
worse.
Came through. I don't know when this came out, but this is the first it's coming across my purview. And so it just
breaking
says
live.
That I haven't even read through this whole thing. But anyways, there's some fresh. Let's see. There was an batch of emails. Da 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 da. And I guess the thing about the Spider-Man is that there was some talk of Marvel being able to use Spider-Man for him, the character, to be able to go back and forth.
They're going to license it, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess that they were going to do that.
I don't know if that's a big deal.
It's not a big... I guess fanboys are a little... They're all upset about it or whatever. But they just said, it must be a fresh nightmare every day for the Sony team right now. One of the things that is most clear when you look at the Spider-Man information that leaked is that Sony has no clear master plan. I'd heard that they were looking to lend the character out for one movie, and now it's confirmed that Captain America Civil War was the movie they were considering. There was also a conversation about loaning the character back to Marvel for a full trilogy. So I guess they're like interested in that. It's kind of crazy.
You know what that doesn't sound?
Uh-huh.
Clean, rad, or powerful.
No, it doesn't sound any of those things. So that's all the stuff. That's the end of the Sony Leaks update for today. So
delicious.
The leaks. The leaks keep coming. And then what other news was kind of crazy? Oh, of course, Cosby Gate. Today, CeeLo decided that he needed to, I guess, weigh in on things.
I saw that and I was like, dude, like, CeeLo.
Really?
You imploded.
You're the last person anybody wants to hear about anything, anywhere, anytime, ever.
Well, especially like... like when they're like
much less rape allegations. Yeah,
when they're like barely like he didn't get acquitted. He like he pled
like no something where he didn't say he did it, but he didn't say
he didn't. Like I don't know what that is, but that's the closest you can get to being convicted of rape, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
And like drugging somebody, right? It was again like using like ecstasy and drinks and shit. And like he's like, well, let's talk about Bill Cosby. No, but let me play the. He has a clip, I guess.
Yes, he does have a clip. This is on TMZ, like, of course.
Should we stop and think about it before we start to, you know, start to judge? You think, like, because he's going through all this stuff and, like, people are judging him, you know?
Yeah.
And you base your thoughts off of what people say.
Yeah, man, you know, he hadn't said anything. And I'm like, which is also, you know, to some, an admission of guilt as well. I mean, like, you know, and, it doesn't seem fair, you know, any way you slice it. It's of course.
So you think it's an admission of guilt because he's not saying anything?
No. I'm saying that can be the perception, and it is a perception of many simply because he hadn't made a formal statement. You know what I'm saying? Defending himself, but you can't defend yourself in that capacity. You know what I'm saying? Like accepting that facts be facts and so on and so forth. Like, you know, the facts have to speak the loudest. You know, so. With that being said, like none of it seems fair, and of course, to any victim in that situation, it's highly unfair. So, like, you know, it's fairly unfair. So, it's not for me to.
It's not for me.
I definitely can't judge it, but I just it's just unfortunate because he's so beloved to so many people. You know what I'm saying?
Oh God. It's just ridiculous.
Unfortunate. So
it's just unfortunate. He raped over 20 women. Unfortunate. Or so it's a horrific, psychopathic crime. One of the two. Or it's unfortunate. You know, same thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Unfortunate.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate that they still, like, give him a microphone and a platform.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
I will say they were baiting him, though. They were like, I'm just trying to have a normal conversation with you, CeeLo, and get you to say some horrible shit about this. Let me just, I mean, don't you think, man? Don't you think that they shouldn't be jumping to conclusions with him? What do you think? I think that. What do you think? What do you think? TMZ. Ridiculous.
No. I just, CeeLo Green.
But no comment is a comment. Don't say anything, CeeLo. Just get in your fucking car and with your cat.
There's a dog. There's a dog.
Whatever it was. Drive the fuck away and leave.
Yeah, the dog scrum has left the entire
ridiculous.
Fucking time. So did you see that video I sent to you that I saw? I hadn't heard of this before, but it brightened my day today on my birthday.
No.
So it's a bluegrass band. Okay. But first of all, it's a black bluegrass band.
It's the best kind of bluegrass band.
Their name is the Carolina Chocolate Drops.
Okay. Bam. I like that name.
I like it as well.
Chocolate Drops.
And so they do a bluegrass version of Hit 'Em Up Style.
Oh, the Blue Cantrell song?
Blue Cantrell.
Oh, my God. I love that song.
Maybe you'll enjoy this. Dude's on the banjo. Woman on the fiddle.
Love it.
Beatbox.
Beatboxing it.
I brightened my day to no end.
Oh, that is so cool.
The Carolina
I got to post that in
drops.
The self-care group.
Hit 'em up style.
That's awesome. Show. You should post that there. That's
okay.
Really cool.
I will after a podcast. But yeah, I fucking love that.
That's awesome.
It feels so good. So speaking of singing.
Oh, God.
Some singing happened.
Yeah, Mariah Carey. Oh my God. Wah. So, you know, she is the Christmas diva with her whole, between sure. her and Darlene Love. That's all you hear Christmas time. And of course, this Christmas, yeah, you know that yeah, one. Yeah. But anyways, so, she does always she sings at the Rockefeller
yep.
Center Christmas tree lighting, and she does All I Want for Christmas Is You. And this year, she didn't sound so good. There's been a few tapes leaking out there with her not sounding good, like live. And then somebody leaked the soundboard.
Yeah, here's what got played for people at home. This is the original sent out by like NBC Mix. That's okay, Mariah.
A lot of background singer.
Okay.
All right.
You know,
it's not her best.
Not her best.
But okay.
Not her worst.
Well, I mean, you know, it's Mariah. So.
Well, and so I found some background. I don't know if you knew this, but so I guess apparently there was an opportunity for a rehearsal. And she had to go to a meeting with her divorce lawyer, and she missed her rehearsal, and they were going to maybe pull the plug. But then at the last minute, NBC's all like, you know, like, we're going to do it. Like, let's just go. So she had to go, and as Bill O'Reilly likes to say.
We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live. I'll write it, and we'll do it live.
So she had to do it live. So I'm not saying that, you know, gives her...
Probably was cold, yeah, maybe.
Okay. So here's the
two.
Here's the vocal track.
It was outside.
Without any of the backing or, I should say, auto-tuning, so unedited.
Or music, yeah, right?
Isolated vocals.
It's just her.
Yep.
Then you could ever know, make my wish come true.
Ooh.
All I want for Christmas is you.
Ooh.
You. For much this Christmas, I won't even wish for snow. I'm just gonna keep on waiting underneath the mistletoe, and I won't make a list and send it to the north of our sending. I won't even stay awake to hear those magic reindeer click, cause I just want you here tonight. So tight. What more can I do?
Ooh.
Oh, baby, all I want for Christmas is you. Woo, 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 woo. You.
Oh,
the lights are shining.
Okay, I love her a little too much to keep going.
I didn't expect it to be that bad.
Dang.
Wow.
You know, but
did Nick take her voice in the divorce?
That's what she was at the lawyer's office for. Like,
is that he was like, I'm snatching that 5 octave. Let me just take that octave. This one, I'm going to take that one and the half of this one. See ya. What the fuck? She, you know what it is? It just sounds like she's very out of shape because her breath was terrible. And that's so critical when you're singing and trying to sing on pitch, especially. You have to have incredible breath control. And she just seemed like she was taking all the, like, you could hear her.
Oh, damn.
You can't do that.
I just went to her Twitter page because I guess she apologized on Twitter, but I can't find the tweet. But she's literally got, like, an entire concert series by Coca-Cola, All I Want for Christmas Is You, Mariah Carey, like, on sale now. Tickets for the final show added December 22nd. Like, ooh, that's bad timing. I feel bad.
Well, God bless you, Mariah. Hopefully things will get you come back. You always come back. Mimi always comes back, though. People be trying to count her out. She's been like over for so many times. And then
you came back from glitter.
Then she has. That's what I'm saying. She came back from glitter and like really came back.
Damn.
We belong together. Get the fuck out of here. You'll see.
Listen, I'll just
say. She will rise.
Listen.
She will rise like a lamb in the field.
Baby, listen. It is not easy to perform. It's not easy to be on stage.
Nope.
It's not easy to do any, you know, making content.
No, but she should sound better than that. I'm not making no excuses. She's professional.
And you're
her background singers couldn't sound like that and keep their job.
You have days on and you have days off, and she missed a rehearsal, and there's shit going on.
I appreciate all of those things, but, you know, it's not a good look, Mariah, but I have faith that you will come back.
Nevertheless, God damn,
that was bad. That was real bad.
Damn.
That was real bad. I wasn't expecting it to be that bad.
Damn.
To be perfectly honest. Uh-oh.
You know what this means.
Uh-oh. I know what it means. That Twitter game. Don't wanna be a player. He's not a player. He just tweets a lot.
Yeah, I do.
You do tweet a lot.
What happened to the music? Oh, it stopped. That's all right. I tweet a lot.
You do tweet a lot. You tweet too much, man.
I'm an addict. I'm a twatter. So on my Twitter timeline the past couple of days, a lot of interesting conversations and activity. Yeah, so I
follow you. Obviously, I follow you, but I don't like keep up with your timeline very much.
No, and I've been
stuff going on over there.
Well, and I've been doing like Twitter a bit differently. Like, so for a little while, I was definitely like doing more of like
acquisition.
Not acquisition, like finding other people's content and reading it and sort of, you know, amplifying their content. And now there's like more opportunities to just sort of like say my content and have that be the interaction with people that follow me.
Gotcha. Like you start the conversation rather than being part of it.
A little bit. And there's,
I got it.
And there's definitely part of that when I was talking, when you sent me that thing about the different sort of like we've talked about white people doing this sort of work and that it, you know, oftentimes is disingenuous and there's different ways and the sort of like white savior and the sort of ego. And I really had to sit with that a lot in particular because of my activity on Twitter.
Okay.
Like just in short, like the shit that like, here's what somebody who's being a, you know, like in this to gain power and influence for the sake of being power and influential within the movement rather than actually improve the livelihood for black people. Like Black Lives Matter only because like, oh, like I'm activist. Like I'm only an activist because I'm trying to mac on like, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I think there's degrees of that too. Actually, we've had a couple of conversations about this where I've said like, well, what's the goal here? What are we trying to do? You know, just because you do have to, I mean, I have to check myself and think about it
absolutely.
All the time.
And so I have had to as well. And not necessarily unintentionally, not intentionally, whatever. Just if you were to, on the outside, look at sort of like the way I use Twitter and what I do on Twitter, it would look a lot like somebody who's trying to do those same things. You know what
right.
I'm saying? Like there's
right.
not a whole lot of differential. And now there's like, okay, I need to really be aware of that and cognizant. And so anyway, I was having some dialogues. I was using the hashtag radical honesty.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like hoping more people would be like, you know, hey, I fear black people. I've been conditioned to fear black people for 40 years. And
Have been? No, you thought people might say that. Okay,
yeah,
radically.
You know,
radically.
Be really radical.
You were asking like white people to be radical.
Yeah.
Or anybody really.
And I started with a few myself. And
right.
I, you know,
what were yours?
I don't see the lens of patriarchy very well.
Mm-hmm.
And then just that I've been conditioned for 40 years to think of people of color in a certain way. And I have to actively be aware of that,
right.
cognizant of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bias. And what you do with that, whether, you know, if you act on it now, that's a prejudice that you're engaging with. And if you continue to, now you're, you know, quote unquote racist. But anyway, so I'm hashtag radical honesty. And one of the ones I finally, and it's funny, I can always tell if I'm grappling. If I'm grappling with something, like, I don't know if I should really say it like this, if I should really tweet it. Invariably, I know if I'm grappling with it, I have to tweet it. Like, that just means, like, it's definitely going to be the thing that people are gonna, like.
Oh, so you're saying, like, that's the catalyst?
Absolutely.
Okay, so you just throw it out there.
I'm grappling with whether or not to phrase it this way, but I said, I think, you know, radical honesty, I really do kind of take enjoyment in learning about stereotypes that people of color may have about white people.
Oh, you do love that.
I do.
It's just like you love when black people do what their white voice.
I do. Like
you think that's the funniest shit ever.
Because it's me. I can laugh at it.
But
it
I also think you always like, oh, like, and you don't like, and this is how you are even when we go abroad and stuff too. Like the things you'd like to learn about our culture, and black culture is no different. It are the things that are, you know, the small details, the colloquialisms, the that get to the heart of a people. Like that you like to learn that kind of stuff. Some people like to learn history, some people like to learn, but you like to really see how people interact and
I do.
And really get immersed in when we were in Argentina you were like that, when we went to Italy, et cetera, et cetera. So that doesn't surprise me that these are the things you love about interacting with people of other cultures.
And I was hoping, and somebody did right away, came out with, you know, some of the stereotypes, and I gave my first one. Do you know which one I used?
The wet dog one.
Yeah.
Yeah, you always do that one.
So, and maybe,
but when did you find out about that one?
Well, I think Malcolm X wrote about it.
Did he?
Heard
about it before we met.
No. I heard about it maybe from you somewhere in our marriage, and then I've since subsequently picked it up in various other places, and I think maybe either Malcolm wrote it. Someone wrote about it. The same.
Just someone generally in the world.
The white people when we're wet smell like dog. That concept.
Even
not
hearing
new.
You say it is hilarious.
There's actually, I'm not trying to be all like, you know, race is a construct or this or that. Or like, I don't want to be all like intellectual, like liberal, like white douchey about it, but it makes a little bit of sense. Like our dogs, they have really not, they're indoors and they're fur and their skin's like super soft. People are always like, oh my God, your dog's so soft and they smell so great. But when they go outside and it's even a little bit wet, they kind of stink right away, like quickly, because the oil on their skin gets brought to the surface.
Right.
The oil in their hair gets mm-hmm. brought to the surface. Mm-hmm. Water. And in terms of like oil content between you and I, like you're a moisturizing motherfucker.
Oh my God, I have like 17 moisturizers I use on a daily basis.
You're like the cocoa in his butt.
I have
like
a moisturizer for my feet, my hands, my face, my
elbows.
Eyes, my hair has 3 different moisturizers.
Exactly.
My skin.
Exactly.
Everything is a different. My nails have a different moisturizer. My cuticles have its own moisturizer.
And I'm almost the exact opposite.
Anything that has moisturizer in it, you're like, get away.
Well, I can shower and wash my hair daily.
Yeah.
And it would still, within that 24-hour period, like, man, my hair's a little oily. You know, like.
Yeah, and I washed my hair this morning, and I came home and had to,
dry
like.
Dry as fuck.
I was like, I got to add some moisture to my hair because it's so dry.
So the difference in, like, oils and different things perhaps make, when white people are wet, make us, you know. Odiferous. I said truthfully, honestly, I can, you know, smell a black person in particular because of the cocoa oil, cocoa butter, right? Like the moisturization. Yeah, depending on the, you know.
But we can't be ashy in these streets.
I was going to say, I probably wouldn't
tell you that right now.
I wouldn't be able to smell an ashy black person as readily as I could someone whose moisture game is tight.
Wow.
Like I could have smelled fucking Cornel West. Beard fucking.
Oh my God,
away.
His beard was so soft. I don't even think, honestly, I don't think I felt a beard that soft in my whole entire life. He hugged me and I was like, what is that? I'm like, oh my God, it's his beard. It's so soft. Right. It was like lamb's wool.
So there was, and it kind of devolved, but so there was additional things that we talked about that white people stand too close. Culturally, like the cultural norm for like personal like space.
Yeah, maybe. I'll say I've never met a black close talker. All the close talkers I've ever known have been white. So that there might be something there. I don't know. I haven't noticed that specifically, but.
Well, the person that tweeted it said that researchers have it down to like culturally the quarter of an inch. Like if they see you in an interaction talking, they know and they can measure the distance. They know where you're from.
Oh, that's
or,
funny.
Or if they know where you're from. They know how far you're going to be when
you're
talking.
You're going
to
be when you're talking.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. I'm deaf, so I lean in a little bit. I'm a close listener talker.
Also, you're so tall too that like I think that doesn't help with your hearing because people are often talking below your ears
that's
versus
true.
at your level.
We also
even down, because I feel like sound would travel that way.
We talked about the Philly winter uniform for dudes.
Oh, you mean sandals, shorts, and a hoodie?
Yeah.
Because, you know, that makes sense. The other day we were out downtown. These two fucking idiots were walking around with shorts, and I'm not kidding you, winter jackets, hats, and gloves, and fucking shorts. I'm like, what is going on here?
I feel like the... Especially when the dudes wear like basketball shorts that like go past
it's always the basketball shorts and those fucking Nike slipper shoes.
Like with black socks.
With blacks. I just don't understand it. Is it everywhere or is it just Philly? I've never seen anybody in New York wear that ever in my whole entire
life. It's definitely a Philly like white dude uniform.
Oh my gosh.
Because I don't even know if I see black dudes wearing
no.
That's
but Philly has the blackest white people though.
We haven't discussed this on the podcast, but you and I have discussed in general that Philly is a town, the white folk here in Philly are blacker
than most.
Than most
cities.
Yeah. I mean that in a great way.
No, I mean that in the best possible way. They're awesome. Yeah. I mean that. I mean that as a huge compliment to the city of Philadelphia.
And you know, I think other people would say like, oh, Philly's, you know, more working class or blue collar would be other euphemisms that
you could say it that way too.
Yeah. A whiter way.
Philly chicks. I mean, but Philly chicks for real. I'm dead serious. In fact, the day we were having this conversation, I think we're at like a Five Guys or something, and this white girl walked by us with like leopard pants and a weave and fake nails, and I was like, see, boom.
I'll just say
this. She just like literally proved. She walked right past us. I was like, exhibit A.
I'll just say this, ladies in Philly, I don't fuck with y'all. If you are from outside and you're here, like, don't start shit with Philly chicks.
Oh no,
they ride hard.
They ride real hard.
Yeah, and if you're a dude and you start shit with a dude that's got a Philly chick, he just started with her too. She'll be on your back. Crying.
And I feel like here in Philly, just from just working at the restaurant and the bar and everything, that so many fights. And in Philly, it always gets physical. Like, I've been around for arguments, especially between women in other cities, like in New York and Chicago, and it will be verbal, and there will be some, maybe somebody might throw something or something like that. In Philly, dude, these chicks are ready to brawl.
At the restaurant at the mall, I don't want to say it, but the restaurant at the mall, remember the big fight that broke out?
Yes.
The one girl grabbed this other girl by the, like, the weave or the braids and was like hockey style, like haymakers. Like undercuts, like punching the shit. I was like, holy cow.
I was like, oh, Christ. Not this again.
I'm out of here.
No, crazy. So, yeah.
Grabbed her fucking, like,
that doesn't surprise
her Bo Derek from 10 braids and just beat the shit out of her.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, maybe standing too close. That might be one.
Yeah. So then someone else was talking about, like, I don't know how we got to it, but multiculturalism and just sort of the people that, you know, whether they do or they don't. I think it came from someone that, young, gifted, and ratchet, maybe, I can't remember who it is, saying that if white people, you can't use as an excuse that you haven't been around black people for your racism.
Oh, which I say all the time.
Right. Like, my comment was like, it's really like, a choice.
But that's a choice you have.
Yeah. You've chosen to be you've chosen to be isolated. You've chosen not to be multicultural in your existence.
You've chosen to be okay with that.
Correct. So,
because it's pretty easy to get exposed to. I mean, everybody works with black people. I don't care where you are. Like,
no,
for real.
You see black
it's ridiculous.
You know they exist, right?
You see black
right?
people every goddamn day.
Although I really, and I don't want to be mean.
And we've been here for a long time, so.
I really got to be careful because it was at our church. But, like, some of the way they were talking about just, like, some of the work that our church is doing about whiteness, it had an air of, like, I just, again, I feel almost terrible saying it. Like, they were talking about black people like y'all were some, like, mythical creature that they hadn't
funny,
encountered.
Yes, it's funny because you said,
are we
like,
ready to talk to the black people?
I don't know. I don't even know what to say. I'm like, we're just people. Like, you don't know what to say to us? Like, what are you talking about right now?
There's at least one person like, oh, I don't think I'm ready. I'm not ready. I need to do more work. Aww. I need to look at, I need to.
I mean, in I one to, place, I understand
it's endearing
that
on some
I get
level,
it, but at
I
the same
too.
Time, it's like, dude, it's not that serious. Just we're human beings. We talk just like you.
Oh, shit, it's a deer, bruh.
Deer, bruh.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Christ. Anyways, what else?
So, in honor of our radical discussions, I did change my handle. My Avi is still, my handle's still very white guy, but my Avi's now, do I smell when wet? So you can tell me if I did.
You don't.
But, so I was curious about the multiculturalism within my Twitter sphere.
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to figure out how to do it, and I didn't want to do one of those like retweet for this, favorite for that. So I put I just said, hey, I'm curious about multiculturalism in my Twitter sphere. I had two tweets. One was, just curious, if you follow me and you identify as a person of color, favorite this tweet. And then the other one was, same thing, just curious, if you follow me and you identify as a white person, favorite this tweet. And I should do the update, but it looks
pretty 50-50.
Pretty 50-50.
Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
It doesn't surprise me for two things. One is that because you started, when you started on Twitter, getting really into Twitter, you had cultivated a lot of people of color, I think, in your, that were following
you. That's
all
I followed right away.
Right. And then I think that now that you've gotten more followers, I think white people have started, especially with the podcast and all of that, that more white people have followed you later and like more recently. If you had that breakdown, like an actual curve, I bet you it would have started like more black people, less white people, and then like slowly shifted to like the middle.
Well, like I said in the beginning, the almost exclusively the people I followed were like
right, black, but this is
female,
people who follow you,
feminist.
So of course that. Well, but no, if but you start following them, that's who you're going to follow.
If I started following black female feminists, I'm you know maybe engaging in those sort of dialogues,
of
retweeting some of that. So it wouldn't surprise me that I had you know the skew might have been like you said different in the beginning,
right?
But so there was a couple of different interesting discussions and one I really want to thank the person I really learned from but so said that some people were taking umbrage with the usage of person of color, people of color, POC, and I sort of said, well, you know, I'll listen what you know I used it because in this regard for this demographic sampling I wanted to be inclusive of all people of color, indigenous and you know, Latina or so forth and so on. And I wanted to be, you know, brevity. POC is kind of, you know, nice and doesn't take up a lot of space.
Right.
So he sent me an article from someone who I really like, Black Girl Danger.
Oh, I love Black Girl Danger.
And talking about that that when you use people of color, and I appreciate it, and I would just say find the article, and we'll try and put it, we will put it in our show notes, in an analogy that I think is really pertinent and easy to get, in the same way that all lives matter detracts from the sentiment Black Lives Matter, people of color, when talking about specifically racial bias, racism, white supremacy, in as the experience of a person of color, a Black person in America, it's very different, right? Like, so, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not trying to do like wheel of oppression or compare this or that, you know, whose pain is worse. We're not doing that. But that the Black American, like the African American, the, you know, someone who's in America as a Black person versus the more generalized person of color, mm-hmm. has a slightly different, and if not, you know, more specific experience with regards to racism and supremacy here in America today. And she was advocating for, you know, being aware of that, and certainly was saying that the there is some value in the nomenclature person of color, and it, you know, it fits for many things and it's good in many ways. But, you know, so I said, hey, listen, I still would have used person of color in the context of my demographic question, but that I'll be more cognizant of if I'm, and I don't talk about other than my being white experience, but if, you know, in a dialogue or talking about supremacy and racism in the United States of America, to be a little bit more aware of and probably skew towards Black American.
If that's what you're talking about.
If that's what I'm talking about, right. Because I think in that context, there is a difference.
Does, but I don't think there was that context existed in your tweet.
And I said that. I suppose the first thing I said, I wouldn't change because of my what I was trying to do. Get a
you
sample.
You were trying to get that
absolutely.
Sample. Yeah, that's exactly. You were asking a specific.
I agree. I said I wouldn't change how I said it in that tweet, but that I'm more aware of what Black Girl Danger was saying, and I'll be more aware of that if and when I, you know, talk about anything in that context. I just think it was.
But I think it's
language
weird to,
matters.
Yeah, it does. But I don't think that would need it to be called out in this instance. That's weird to me.
It was a little bit not all white people, but you know,
this was a white person.
No, it was a person of color.
Oh, okay.
I'm not gonna, you know, I didn't mind it. I actually thought it was a bit of a, I don't say a gift, but you know, say hey, you know, I appreciate it. I understand something a little bit differently. I like Black Girl Danger. I hadn't read that piece, and it brought me to the fact that she's supporting a bit of a boycott, a strike, I should say, a social media strike. Mm-hmm. So there's quite a few Black female feminist writers that have gone on a bit of a strike, and I'll just say you can find their work at this tweet called My Back. And in fact, Leslie, you didn't quite understand it, but there's a book, an anthology called This Bridge Called My Back.
I've heard of. But
right, so the writings of radical women of color, mm-hmm. Feminist anthology. So I think this tweet called My Back was an homage or referencing the previous work, This Bridge Called My Back. But so, again, I won't skew their message. I'll say just find it. It's This Tweet Called My Back at Tumblr. And they're on strike. And, you know, I'll read the one sentence. We are your unwaged labor in our little corner of the internet that feeds the movement. Hours of phone teach-ins, hashtags, Twitter chats, video chats, and phone calls to create a sustainable narrative and conversation around decolonization and anti-Blackness. As an online collective of Black, Afro-Indigenous, and NDN women, we have created an entire framework with which to understand gender violence and racial hierarchy in a global and U.S. context. In order to do this, however, we have had to shake up a few things in the narrative. And the response has been sometimes loving, but in most cases we've faced nothing but pushback in the form of trolls and stalking. And so they're they've got a statement, big piece, and they're doing a strike. And I'll just sort of read the folks who are doing it. T-Girl Interrupted, Chief Elk, Bad Dominicana, Aro Bogado, So True, Black Amazon, The Trudes, who I really like, The Trudes a lot. And then In Solidarity, Black Girl Danger, who we're talking about, Chiyua, Not All Thoughts, Jazz Gold, Natasha Viana, Ms. Blossom, Sarah Kenzier, and Scat X. So these are Black women of color. I think more than a few also probably intersect other marginalized groups, but they're on sort of a Twitter strike, and that's a shame. I like their both, you know, many of those people's voices. So we'll see, but you can read more about it.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to.
I don't know much about it, so.
Yeah, I don't want to go too. I don't want to.
And we're running long, so.
I don't want to co-opt and sort of describe this or that. I'll let
people read it.
I just thought, you know, hey.
I'll put the link up for sure.
Yeah, I found.
on the show notes.
Her work very inspirational for me today about people of color. And then, oh, she's off Twitter and on a strike. So you can read more about that.
She's not doing any work, or I guess I'll read more about it.
No, she's. I'm sure
she's just not doing social media stuff.
Yeah, and I think she's got. I think some of them I've been
probably
told
websites
have
and stuff.
An alt account. You know, they're, they're on but doing a different way.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
So today for your birthday,
yeah,
we went to the movies.
Thank you for
that's
that.
That's what you wanted to do.
I did. I loved
so
it.
So we went to the movies. We haven't been in a while, so it was really cool. So we saw a doubleheader, and we paid for both movies, people. So don't come after us. Because we go to the very fancy white theater with assigned seating, so you can't be sneaking in.
Nope.
We went to see Horrible Bosses 2 first, and then we went to see Chris Rock's new movie, Top 5, Doubleheader.
I thought it was both a good comedy day.
It was a good comedy. Horrible Bosses was really much funnier than I expected to be. My sister actually had told me it was very funny, but I was like, I don't know. I just feel like sequels, sometimes they don't hit. And the last one was good, but it wasn't like, oh, it has to have a sequel either.
Right, right.
But they did a really good job with it. They didn't take themselves very seriously, which I loved. And Chris Pine was hilarious.
He was really good.
Oh, my God. They gave him like extra bronzer, too, or something. he was great.
No, the movie was really, before, from a plot standpoint, it was almost like ludicrous,
right?
But it worked so well.
They made it. They were increasingly like in awe of its ludicrousness as well. It was like, why are we doing this? This is ridiculous. We really shouldn't do this. Like, yeah. I love that. It just, like I said, didn't take itself very seriously.
No, not at all. Not at all.
They even had the part where they were going over like their plan for the caper and like their daydream of it, and then like the reality of what was going on was so off
daydream.
Of it. It was great. It was great.
And there was like more than a few parts where they each were like just almost like ad-libbing, right?
Where
he's
it was
like,
a
shut
lot
up,
of
ad- shut the
no,
fuck up.
Definitely a lot of ad-libbing. Sudeikis being as snarky as he can be.
It was good.
Jason, does he age? What's going on with that guy, Jason Bateman? I was looking at his face in this movie. I'm like, he looks like he hasn't aged in like 20 years. It's kind of ridiculous. And it's funny because he was a little chunkier when he was younger.
Mm.
Like when he was on... What's that show?
I thought you were going to talk about Sudeikis getting on the ladies.
No, he's a whole different thing. I don't know what's going on with that. He must have, like, super pheromones and a big dick. I don't know.
And a big dick.
Something's going on over there for him to be, you know, bagging all sorts of women. January Jones, now Olivia Wilde. That bitch was married to a prince. For real? Jason Sudeikis is your next move? Interesting.
King of cock.
I guess. but no, Jason Bateman, I feel like he hasn't aged in, like, more than a decade. It's kind of ridiculous.
He looks very similar.
Yes, he does. Charlie was funny too.
But yeah, I liked. I thought Top 5 was really, really good.
Top 5 was by far
Chris Rock's best movie.
The best movie Chris Rock has been anywhere near, much less in starring, wrote, etc.
Yeah,
I thought it was fantastic. So well done, well acted, great pacing, great music. Questlove did the music. Jay-Z and Kanye executive produced it, so they had a lot of good clearance songs. Let's just say that. And the whole concept of the whole top five thing. I don't want to give any secrets of the movie,
yeah.
But I'll say that the concept of top five is everybody gets to name their top five rappers. And so I liked so much about it. I felt like the entire cast besides Rosario Dawson was nothing but comedians. I'm not kidding. Every single small role, even if it was just the girl walking him into the movie theater, that was Tichina Arnold. Like every single role was a significant, like amazing comedian.
Am I crazy or does it remind me a little bit of Brown Sugar?
No.
The pacing and sort of the relationship angle and
no,
what was, and didn't they weren't they interviewing him? He had a record label and she was writing an article. I thought that was something.
No, she was writing a book in Brown Sugar, or maybe that was Love and Basketball.
Maybe I'm confusing. Well, but so I thought it was Chris Rock's wonderful. I think he did a great job. But oh, Miss Dawson, yikes!
Oh, what?
Rosario, I just love her.
She's
one of these, like, she's getting hotter as she gets older. Like Juliana Margulies.
Yeah.
Like, you look at her in, like, ER days.
I feel like she's getting very, like, angular. She's
who, Juliana or Rosario?
No, Rosario.
Why, because of the hair?
No, just generally speaking. I feel like she's, I don't know.
I thought she looked
gorgeous. She looked great. She always looks great. She is aging very well. She's getting very distinguished looking, I think.
Yeah, I like it. I thought
yeah, it looks
beautiful.
Good on her. Yeah, it does look good on her. Just to think of her from, like, kids, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So we talked a little bit as we were leaving the theater.
Well, the other thing that I want to mention, too,
about
it.
JB?
know about, they have one scene in the movie where Chris's character goes back to his old neighborhood in New York City, and he comes in and his family's there and everything. And it, from my recollection, besides literally like Ellen Cleghorn and I don't know, Eddie Murphy, was like basically every black SNL cast member from Chris forward was in the scene. So
that Tracy
was there. Chris was there. Obviously Jay Farrell was there. Michael Che was there.
Leslie, the new
cast member that's just on this year. I said Michael Che already, and we said Chris. I mean, that was all of them, but that's a lot.
Yeah.
And I found out recently that Leslie only got this job because Chris brought her to Lauren and said, you need to hire her.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He thought she was hilarious. She was getting absolutely nowhere. And he's like, honestly, she would have never been given a shot except for I was like, come, Lauren, you have to see this woman. She's hilarious and you need her on the show. So that's interesting.
And she stole more than a few scenes in the movie.
She was hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, she is hilarious. Let me just start there. She is hilarious. And she was very funny in the movie. All of them were funny in the movie. It seemed like because he was directing and writing and all that, there was a lot of leeway. And when you populate your movie with comedians who literally do nothing but think on their feet, it was just beautiful. Mm. Just to see all of them interacting with each other and busting at each other. Sandler was in it. Jerry Seinfeld was in it as himself. Whoopi Goldberg as herself. So it was really good.
I thought so too.
It was very, very good movie. Very, I highly recommend it. I think it's going to do really well, especially long term. I think the word of mouth is going to be significant for it. And I think that everybody should go see it. And I just know there were so many. It was funny and we were all laughing a ton, but there were a few jokes that like some people were just like fell out. The two people in front of us,
they couldn't stop laughing.
They could not stop. I don't even remember. It was a slightly, not to say off color, but it was a slightly raunchy joke in the movie.
I don't remember which one it was.
You with the hot sauce. And lost it.
Oh shit. They couldn't stop laughing.
They couldn't stop.
She was doing that like,
she couldn't stop herself.
There
was a guy in the back of the room who was laughing really loudly, and his girlfriend must have said something like, don't laugh so loud. He was like, I paid my money, I'm going to laugh. That's what he said. I paid my money, I'm going to laugh. It was funny.
I was going to mention, we talked a little bit about who I normally think is quite funny, and I love his comedy a lot, J.B. Smoove.
Yeah, I like J.B.
But his character in the movie was a little street rapey.
It was just pure street harassment. They were trying to get across that he had a thing for large women.
Is that what they were trying
women.
To do?
Oh, yeah, for sure. That was even the stripper that he went after. That was his whole thing. It's like, oh, you're a big girl. I like the way you walk with your confidence. But he was approaching strangers on the street saying these things to these women. It was such street harassment.
It wasn't even
And this is how ingrained it is.
Yeah, it wasn't even just high. It was like,
oh, no. It was
up,
full
like,
on.
Collar, like, macking.
Bad.
And
he did it to a cop, and she was like, you better back up.
A female police officer.
Literally, to a police officer. Yeah, it was disappointing just to see it going on.
Well, I love his character from,
Larry David?
Larry David, yeah. Like, his comedy's really pretty goddamn funny.
No,
like,
I think he's, like, but his timing's really good, but I just thought that it was unnecessary in the movie, and it was just inappropriate, and it's kind of, like, just shows you how ingrained this kind of behavior is in black culture.
And it should do anything in the culture,
because Chris, he wrote it in there, like, oh, this is normal, what should be done.
I mean, though, it didn't develop the character any, there was no significant
It was supposed to be funny. It was supposed to be a running joke. Yeah, that he has a thing for big women.
People weren't laughing at it.
It wasn't funny.
Yeah, it's not funny.
Patriarchy.
Hmm. You know what was fucking funny? And we were talking about it before, and I want to be all like,
but this might be like a spoiler, though. I was thinking
think
this now. I didn't know he was in the movie.
Yeah, it's really
It was kind of
funny.
A big moment.
All right, we won't spoil it.
No, let's not.
You know what I'm going to do instead?
What?
When I was digging deep in for the couple different audio pieces.
Yeah.
Like, you ever get into, like, the YouTube hole or the Twitter hole? Like, you go, like, from this to that?
I do that a lot of time on Spotify.
You do on Spotify. Okay. Well, I did on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And I was looking for the one thing that you don't want to spoil, the song.
Right.
But so this came up. I found this.
What's this?
I fucking love reggae music.
What is this?
Chronics.
Oh, I love Chronics.
girl this morning. She was love at first sight. Ooh, I met a girl this morning.
Just Chronic song, Smile.
I love Chronic. He's so awesome.
I wish we could have seen him in New York that one time.
I know. Man, we have to try and see him live maybe someday.
So I got lost in the YouTube hole, but the I was glad I did. Chronics, thank
well,
you.
Well, since the top five is the movie, is you have to give your top five MCs, why don't we do our top five?
All right. You want to do all yours, all mine? How do you want to do it?
Do yours first.
Do mine first?
You're the birthday boy.
Okay. You know my number one.
Ice-T.
Like a motherfucker. He changed me, dude. Ice-T. Power.
You love Ice-T so
I do. I really,
very
I stand
much.
Hard for
you,
tea.
You like a lot of different music, and you like a lot of hip-hop and a lot of other things as well. But honest to goodness, you can go so hard on an Ice-T song. Like, you know every
sure.
lyric. And you don't know the lyrics to shit. But Ice-T, don't put a fucking Ice-T song on. Especially, like, old school Ice-T. Forget
sure.
it. You lose your mind.
Well, you know, there's definitely, like... I was into hip hop and rap before I even met you. Like,
oh yeah, well before you met me, right, yeah,
right.
definitely.
But I had Ice-T's number one, and then Public Enemy,
mm-hmm.
and then I think N.W.A.
Okay,
maybe number three,
because
it's got Cube and Dre. Like, anyway, so N.W.A. And then I'm a little torn, but I think I'd go Run DMC, and then. I'm really stuck on five and six. I know we're allowed to have a six, like a bench.
People
right?
always have a bench, yeah.
So I'm gonna say these are interchangeable. One's five, one's six.
Mm-hmm.
Snoop and Junior Mafia / Biggie.
You can't see, right,
Junior Mafia
/ Biggie. That's
Biggie.
Four people extra.
Well,
you can't just name everybody.
Biggie. Biggie.
You don't have to say Biggie,
no,
but that's two people now.
I said that's five and six.
Oh, that was five and six.
Yeah,
got it. You can move them either way. Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha. Understood. Got
so
it.
Ice-T, Public Enemy.
I thought you were going to play a song from at least one of your guys.
Well, I do. I got Ice-T
queued up. Oh, you got. Well, you should have done that first. As soon as you said him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man, this dude is funkier than 19 yards of chitlins with onions and sardines on the side. Now that's funky.
Ba, 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 ba.
1, 2, 1, 2, 2, 3. I'm the MC called Ice-T. That's DJ Evil E.
Word.
Islam creates the beat.
Don't be.
You girls look so sexy.
Uh-huh.
I wish y'all were up here with me.
You know that.
You drive me crazy with the big old butts. Girl,
let's get butt naked and fuck tonight.
I'm trying to make the strip clear.
You, this is the one you picked?
No time to whisper.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's enough
no
of that. My mother might listen to this.
I just want to get
come on.
Yeah, get butt naked and roll around. Move our bodies like up and down. That stuff that your mama calls smut, girl.
Let's get butt naked and fuck tonight.
Come on. Mm. You know you want to do it too.
Do you need
you
the extra?
You do it too.
Okay.
All right.
Birthday boy.
So that's my five.
That's your five. Okay. So my five, I've got, of course, B.I.G., Rakim, Kool Moe Dee, Jigga Jay-Z, and, of course, well, you just press play.
Oh, really? Okay. You had to at least have
I
one.
I am the light. L-Y-L-L-Y-T-E. I am the light. L-Y-L-L-Y-T-E. I am the light. L-Y-L-L-Y-T-E.
Do you understand the metaphoric phrase, light as a rock? It's explaining how heavy the young lady is. You know what I'm saying, King?
Yes, my brother. But I would consider light as a rock a simile because of the usage of the word as. And now, directly from the planet of Brooklyn. MC Light as a rock.
Must I say it again? I said it before. Move out the way when I'm coming through the door. Me, heavy, as light as a rock. Guys, watch, even some of the girls clock. Step back, it ain't that type of party. No reply if you ain't somebody. Get out my face, don't want to hear no more. If you hate rejection, don't try to score. First base, you ain't...
Brooklyn in the house.
MC Light, that's my girl. Love her.
You know,
she's
still
the best.
Looks fucking
she
amazing.
Looks ridiculous. She sounds insane. She's just everything. I love her.
Right on.
Representing BK.
That's
love
a good top five. I like it.
My top five. I don't need a six.
No, you just tight five. I like
tight,
it.
Tight.
Good work.
A lot of Brooklyn represented there.
A lot. And in fact, we talked about this before that my rap tastes tend to be a little bit more West Coast. Chicago, yeah, where I grew up,
for sure,
didn't get nearly as much of the New York
yeah, scene, yeah, if you will.
Mm-hmm. In fact, I don't remember anyone really big, you know, like Chicago's quote-unquote music scene until R. Kelly. And then when he was coming up, and I just, you know, even now, I honestly don't love R&B as much as I like rap and hip-hop.
Right.
I like some of R. Kelly, but...
Nobody, not R. Kelly.
I like that remix to Ignition.
Well, I mean, remix to Ignition.
It's a good song.
Yeah.
I said some, but yeah, the music scene in Chicago wasn't... Kanye, I was gone
you
before.
You got Kanye, yeah.
Yeah, but I moved well Common. Before they came on the scene.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I was in high school, it was more like, you know, West Coast stuff.
Mm-hmm. Must be.
N.W.A.
Yeah.
Although we got from New York, we got Run DMC, Beastie Boys,
yeah,
LL Cool J.
Those were nationwide acts, yeah, though, for sure.
Well, we got a little bit of like the, you know, Big Daddy Kane, mm-hmm, and Rakim, like you said. Some of the New York stuff came around, but not a lot.
The God.
KRS-One.
I love KRS-One.
I was debating.
He almost made my list too. He was close.
He was really
him
close.
And Chuck D, they were my two. I was like, eh, da, 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 da. But, you know. You got to cut it off somewhere.
It's five.
Top five, man.
It's top five.
Top five. Jerry Seinfeld gave his top five. And Sir Mix-a-Lot made his top five.
And so there's a... That was, oh, yeah. There was another one that was weird. I can't remember who else had another weird one. But it was a good device for the
movie.
Yeah,
it was good. It was very good. You got to hear everybody's.
I like it.
So
what? Talking about TVs?
Well, just one show, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which had its winter finale this week. That show, honest to goodness. It's
good.
Like ridiculous. It's beyond good, Drew.
But they're going away for like 10 weeks. And they're coming back.
Yeah, but they're giving us Agent Carter during that time. So yeah, it's all good.
True.
It's all good. We're going to get extra backstory. Some of the stuff they put in play, we're going to get more stuff that's going to feed back into the stuff.
Well,
Marvel has got its shit together,
they
man.
Turned that one chick into a... She's got powers now.
Well, we'll see.
I think she's going to have powers.
She's going to have something.
She didn't die.
She sure didn't.
What's her character name again?
Sky.
Sky.
That's not her name.
That's not her name. I keep thinking about her bangs. I don't know why.
Yeah, you were a little obsessed with them changing her hair. I was like, she's got to grow up. She can't be like the backpack hacker anymore. Now she's going to be like a real agent. So she got to look the part.
She
kicked some ass.
She looks fast.
She didn't play. She was beating that chick's ass, the fake May.
Yeah, she did. How about when Coulson did the fucking like climb up leg
oh
drop?
My God. That two old people doing that those moves is ridiculous. I was like, he slowly climbed
they wire
up. I mean, they had to have something. I don't know what they did with that dude.
It's like, remember that Las Vegas show when Jimmy Kahn would fucking
oh, yeah, when he would punch somebody, yeah, get into a fight on
like
Vegas.
Slow-mo,
yeah.
He comes around house.
Oh, that was great. I used to love that show.
That was a good show.
Oh, yeah, it was a good show.
So Agent Shield's been good.
Agent Shield's great. So if you haven't caught up with it, because Agent Carter starts January just after the new year. It'll be on for 8 weeks. And then the show, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will be back. And then we'll be getting into Age of Ultron territory, which all
well,
of this
definitely
will be feeding
some crossover
into. It's going to be really good. They've already started. They mentioned the Kree in this, which figures
right,
heavily in the Kree. Age of Ultron. And it's going to be good, I think. So
I think you might be right about that.
Yeah.
So we got to stand for Karen.
Oh, gosh. Yes, Karen from The Black Guy Who Tips, the co-host of The Black Guy Who Tips. She also has several of her own shows, Lip Smacking Good being one of them. You can follow her on Twitter at Say Dat Again, D-A-T. This week, Wednesday night, The Black Guy Who Tips show, it was the day Beverly Johnson, maybe it was the day before that, actually.
No, I think it was the day after Beverly Johnson. They're talking about Cosby again.
They were talking about Cosby again. But they got more into the larger issues with rape culture and how women are treated no matter what they do with regard to sexual assault.
Right.
And Karen let off what can only be described as an incredibly eloquent yet blistering attack on these apologists for Cosby and in the bigger sense of our society against patriarchy and how women are relegated to second class citizenship, especially when it comes to issues related to sexual assault. And I just, you know, It was amazing to hear, and it was amazing. You know, Karen's incredibly intelligent, and she always says fantastic things. But when she's passionate about something, and it's really something that resonates with her,
yeah.
And she really, you know, gets to that point where she's focused and she's really, you know, speaking.
No, she.
My favorite thing is that Rod just like backs away and just like she you know, she just does her thing, and I just love it. And it was a great episode. And I would just recommend everybody listen to the show, generally speaking. But if you had some time this week to listen to Wednesday's episode, it was just really, really good.
Her, you know, what do you call it? Soliloquy, got a rant, whatever you want. It was unbelievably moving. And you could hear in her voice, she almost, you know, emotionally was cracking a couple of times. But I love their show. And you listen to you're more... you listen to more podcasts than I do.
Yeah.
Because while you're here working, you put your headset on, you'll do podcasts.
Yeah.
I don't listen, admittedly, as many as you do. But the one I do listen to the most regularly and consistently and frequently is The Black Guy Who Tips.
Yeah.
Because it's awesome.
Mm-hmm. And that episode was called Unsolicited Baby Picks. So that's the name of the episode. Episode 843 came out on Wednesday, December 10th. I'll make sure there's a link in the show notes. But it was just really, really good. And, you know, I just love Karen. So,
yeah.
So shout out, Karen.
A little bit of sad news,
right? Yeah, we did have some really sad news this week.
Very sad.
A friend of ours, Angel, passed away. He had been battling illness, but it was a little unexpected. None of us were really expecting it. And it has been a number of years since we saw him, but, you know, was in touch via social network and things like that. And I used to work with him, and he was a really good friend of ours, both in Chicago and in New Orleans. And it's just so greatly missed by so many people.
He was such a light of the party type spirit.
Oh, my God. I mean,
he just would walk into a room, and it would just... It would change. You're like, Angel, he's here. You can tell he's on shift. The energy's different. He just was such a...
Just a light. He really
light.
Was.
He
like,
really
his name
was.
Fed him. Like, he really was
angel.
An angel in that way. Like, just the way that, you know...
Can we lift up his last name? Can we say...
Sure.
Angel Delgado.
Yeah.
He was such a... Just a really... And there was a... When he passed last week on Facebook, which I'm not really using much, a mutual friend of ours had... said that people were sharing stories because he worked with a lot of people. He touched a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And they were sharing stories on Facebook for his mom. And we didn't really get a chance to, but I thought we could tell a story now. I know the story I always think of.
I don't know if that's an appropriate story, though.
And it's just, it's so beautiful. And so I just loved it and him. And it was funny. But what story would you tell?
I just remember, you know, because he watched Binx while we were on our honeymoon and when got married.
Right, I forgot about that.
And he stayed with us for quite some time when he first moved to New Orleans. He stayed with us for a couple of months. So, you know, we were hanging out a ton. But when he watched Binx, I just remember Binx loved him so much. He used to take him, take her up to the lake, and they'd go running up there and walking on along the water. And I just remember him being so wonderful with her. And so for me, that's like a really big memory of mine, you know, them playing together. And he just was so loving with her and so great. I will read another friend of ours' story.
Okay.
Just to have it out here and recorded. So she says, I know we all have a story, that famous Angel Delgado story. I couldn't pick just one to let his family know how much he was loved, how much he meant to us, how much he made us laugh. I never told this story to anyone. It just wasn't one of those angel stories. But right now, it's the one I remembered. At Mike and Amy's wedding, there was a dance-off. Angel was my date, and I had just had surgery about 2 weeks before. As people started dropping off around us, I said to him, maybe we need to dance it down. I think the bride and groom are supposed to win. He looked at me with famous angel pout and squint. Girl, never dance it down. I think he finally felt sorry for me, clutching my hemorrhaging midsection, and we lost the dance off. As we clapped hard for Amy and Mike, he leaned over and said, next time, girl, here's to never dancing it down, my friend. I love you so much, and we will dance again someday. R.I.P.
R.I.P. Angel.
So,
indeed.
You will be missed. Very, very missed.
Very missed. Let's go out with more Carolina Chocolate Drops as you do your outro.
All right. Again, you can find us on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. Just search for Interracial John. That's J-A-W-N. You can find me on Twitter at Leslie Mack, M-A-C, and Very White Guy at Very White Guy. And you can also find us on our website, interracialjohn.com. And we're also on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Tumblr, Interracial John, J-A-W-N.
Yeah. All right. Everywhere. Although, if you really want to talk to me, it's only Twitter.
Yeah, don't bother looking for him anywhere else.
I don't do much else.
He doesn't do much else. I don't. All right, babe. Well, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Glad we got to get a show in.
Podcast.
High five.